As I remember.
California State Polytechnic College.
California State Polytechnic. As I remember, California State Polytechnic College presents another in its series of interviews with distinguished retired staff members. This one, James F. Merson. Jim, what did you do before you came to Cal Poly in 1936?
George, I was teaching agricultural mechanics at Santa Rosa High School. And prior to that time, I taught agricultural mechanics for 2 years at Dos Palos High School.
By the time you came here, things were a little bit primitive in the way of facilities and not very many students and not very much of a faculty. Is that right, Jim?
That's right. We didn't have much to work with, but we had an old shop where they had been teaching woodwork. We took that over and made it into agricultural mechanics. We taught farm machinery up in the farm shop, a little shack up on the hill, and that's about all we had to work with, except the fields and the campus.
And what were the objectives of the ag mechanics program when you came here, Jim?
The objectives were just about the same as they are now, George. What we were trying to do was to give these young men a better training so that they could go out into various agricultural pursuits and do a better job.
And a major difference would have been that we didn't have very many students, and perhaps some of them couldn't go too far in the engineering phase, and you did have a different kind of agriculture. Is that right?
Yes, we had a different kind of agriculture in that we weren't as fully mechanized as we are now. The student program at that time consisted of a three-year technical program, and they also had a two-year vocational program. We didn't have the four-year degree program at that time.
Mm-hmm. And then along in the next 3 or 4 years, you had different people that joined you and Al Hollenberg in some phase of the ag mechanics program. Who were some of them, and what are some of them doing today?
Yes, Paul Winter, who is now the Associate Dean of Students, was helped us in the ag mechanics program. We had Gene Boone teaching some ag mechanics, especially with the dairy boys. His field was in dairy husbandry. And there were, Carl Beck. Carl Beck helped us with the horse skills program. Every student that was enrolled in agriculture those days had to complete a two-unit course in horse skills and another two-unit course in tractors.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of the carryover from one kind of agriculture to another, or mechanization in those days.
Well, some of the fellows didn't seem to take much to this horse program. They said, why do we have to study horses when we're going into a mechanical age? But we thought it was good for them. And just recently, one of our distinguished graduates, Don Feaster, told me down in Guatemala that he wished we'd had taught him some skills with oxen. That's what they're using down in the Central America countries today.
Well, you never can tell what kind of a need a Cal Poly graduate's going to have.
That's right.
Did you have Gene Egan in there sometime?
Gene Egan came along a little bit later from Tracy High School, and he worked in the program with us for quite a long while.
Mm-hmm. Now, what did you have in the way of shop buildings and facilities and so on when you came here, Jim?
Well, there was an old wooden building at the foot of the hill about where the math building is now. There's where the biggest part of the program was taught in woodworking skills and concrete and the various phases of agricultural mechanics. Then the old farm shop up on the hill near where the administration building now is was the headquarters for the farm machinery and tractors program. We only had two tractors. We had an old McCormick Deering wheel tractor and a Caterpillar 30.
Wasn't one of those that you gave your famous demonstration of cranking a tractor on, was it, Jim?
No, that came a little bit later. Never crank a tractor with your right hand.
Well, I guess we pass that one up. And as you say, at that time, there was no major in ag engineering or mechanized agriculture.
No, these were all service courses and were given for the benefit of the students who were majoring in crops and poultry and animal husbandry and dairy and the other majors of agriculture that were being offered at that time. However, in the year I came, in 1936, we started a program for students who wanted to major in agricultural mechanics. And since I came from Santa Rosa High School, there were three or four boys followed me down from there, Bill Woods and Homer Hoskins and Lester McRae and some of the others, and they became the nucleus for the first class to graduate in 1939 with a major in agricultural mechanics.
And I guess some of those boys, or perhaps all of them, are still quite prominent in that line. Is that right?
All of those boys are still either in large farming operations or working in responsible positions in the farm machinery and equipment industry.
Well, then I know, Jim, up to wartime, there were no major developments in the building program. The number of students did keep growing, though, and you were real busy.
And then when the war broke out, why, the enrollment fell off until there were more faculty than there were students. But about that time, they brought the Navy program in, and that's all that.
During that period, Jim, I guess you were busier than the proverbial one-armed paper hanger. What is some of the numerous things, responsibilities that you had during that war period?
Well, when our enrollment fell off, I was given the responsibility of managing the college farm and also running the auto shop and the farm tractor and machinery shop and program, as well as teaching all the classes that were taught in agricultural mechanics. They had called Al Hollenberg to Washington, D.C. to take on a position there, and that left me all alone.
What were some of the little odd jobs you had in connection with the auto shop that were peculiar to the war period, Jim, that we don't have today?
Well, we had gasoline rationing for one thing, and we had to use coupons for every gallon of gasoline we put in a vehicle. We also had to inspect the tires on every vehicle and make a written report on each tire every month. Many nights I've been over there working on a truck till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to get it out to haul a load of cattle someplace the next day.
And you had the responsibility for the general operation of the farm, too?
Yes, all the farming operations were under my direction at that time.
Mm-hmm. And did you teach some Navy classes besides?
No, I'm glad I didn't have to do that. But we did make use of some of the Navy students. Farm help was so hard to get at that time that we commandeered a gym class or two to pitch hay in order to get the hay crop in and harvest some of the other crops on the farm.
I guess some of the poorest help you had was when some of us faculty members went out and tried to help. Is that right?
Well, after we ran out of the winos that we bailed out of the county jail downtown, then there was only the faculty left to draw on, so...
I was getting pretty low.
That's down at the bottom of the barrel.
I can remember going out there mowing back that green chop with Gene Bowles and Carl Beck on one of those long wagons. That's about as hard work I ever did, Jim.
That's when we had the hay loader picked it up and pushed it up on the back of the wagon, and you had to receive it on
the
top.
We had to mow it back, and we had a tractor operator that was afraid if he went under 6 miles an hour that the thing would clog up on him. Well, right after the war and your division, students poured back, GIs, and I'm sure that there was a great many that were interested in mechanized agriculture and so on as a result of war experiences. Is that true?
That's true, and we had a large buildup in our enrollment. The students at that time were more mature, and they were more sure of themselves. They knew what they wanted. and they could see mechanization playing a large part in California's agriculture. So there was a big demand then for a four-year program in mechanized agriculture or agricultural engineering. And about 1948, we started a four-year degree program in agricultural engineering to take care of this need.
Mm-hmm. And you began to get some more permanent staff that didn't have to share their duties with other fields. Is that true?
Yes, our staff grew in proportion to the number of students, of course, and this was a very popular course, and we were able to get staff that were more highly trained in specialized fields such as irrigation and farm power and some of the more highly specialized fields of agricultural engineering.
Now, about 1948, Jim, you did bring in a unique program, one of the first of the special types. What brought that about? What was it, and what brought it about?
Well, Vard Shepherd was dean of agriculture at that time, and he said to me one day that the American Horse and Mule Association and the California Thoroughbred Breeders Association said they just couldn't find any more horseshoers. It was becoming a lost art. And did we suppose we could set up a program to train men with a short course in this field? So we set up a 12-week training program in horseshoeing at that time, and it's been a very popular course ever since. There's been a waiting list 2 or 3 years in advance to get into the course, and there have been a great many students have been trained in that field very successfully. Of course, this was not a part of the regular college academic program, but was rather a special program.
Mm-hmm. I expect that there's a lot of people in the United States that wonder what in the world a horseshoer does. I just think the horses are gone. Is that true?
Well, there was a while that some of the graduates there that worked after they got through the horseshoeing program and worked around the racetracks were making a lot more money than the teachers who were teaching them. So there's a real good money in that as a profession.
That's right. Now, who was your first graduate when you got your degree program, Jim?
A degree program was started about 1948, and Bill Kirkpatrick, William Kirkpatrick, graduated with a degree in 1949. He was the first student to get the Bachelor of Science degree in Agricultural Engineering from Cal Poly. Bill joined the faculty immediately and served on the staff for 2 years, and then he went overseas on one of our first overseas programs for AID.
And did that lead to a new type of service program, Jim?
Well, in a year or so, Bill rounded up from Indonesia a group of young men over there who were interested in a training program in heavy equipment operation and maintenance, primarily for the idea of producing more food in Indonesia, to clear the jungle and to do the primary tillage and drainage work that needed to be done to develop more agricultural land in that country. So this was our first foreign training program at Cal Poly.
And since that time, there have been an increasing number of students from many, many foreign countries that are interested in improving the mechanization of their agriculture. Isn't that true?
Yes. At this time, I believe we have some 70 countries represented on the campus, and a great many of them are studying agricultural mechanization or agricultural engineering.
Well, certainly it's recognized that if these countries are to produce enough food to feed their growing population, they're going to have to increase the per capita output tremendously. Isn't that right?
That's right. In this regard, I was asked to go as a part of a team, as a member of a team, to Argentina in 1963 to study their vocational agriculture program and make recommendations for improving it upgrade the production of food in that country. And this past summer, I've spent 4 or 5 months in Guatemala doing the same thing, to try to find out ways and means of mechanizing some of the agricultural operations there.
So we have a two-way system here. Not only do the foreign students come here, but you and other people on the faculty have gone to foreign countries to see what could be done with a program that would be located in those countries. Is that right?
Yes, Cal Poly has a number of programs going in foreign countries now, one in Thailand, another one or two in Africa, and besides the one in Guatemala, and others are pending.
Had it not been for the Mideast crisis, I guess we would have had one going in Sudan. Is that right?
I imagine that was just about to go when the crisis struck.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jim, as you told me that when you came here in 1936, that President McPhee sent you a note and said, get some plans ready for a big new building program, a complete program for the Ag Mechanics Project. Now, what was the history of that, Jim?
Well, I was real glad to get that note and sat down and drew up a set of plans for what we thought we'd need looking into the near future for new agricultural mechanics facilities, shops and so forth, shops and laboratories. And 20 years later, the building was actually consummated. We got our new building in the fall of 1965 and moved into it in January 1955 and moved into it in January 1956. Now we have one of the best facilities I think you'll find on any college campus in the United States as far as agricultural mechanization and agricultural engineering is concerned.
Well, at 20 years is a long time, but it was real good to get the buildings finally. Now, you mentioned two programs, mechanized agriculture and agricultural engineering, and those are two majors that are in your division.
Yes, in 1956, we added the mechanized agriculture major for those students who didn't want to get so technically involved in the engineering phases of it, aspects, but who would be working in more technical fields, serving agriculture in sales and service and related fields connected with, say, the farm machinery industry, but not actually as engineers designing new equipment.
Jim, another step that probably took place around about 1960 in the expansion of Cal Poly's worldwide program was a Peace Corps program. What took place and how big was it and so on?
Well, Cal Poly was asked to train a group of some 70 young people to go to Morocco on one of the first Peace Corps programs. And I was given the job of directing the agricultural training for this group. It consisted mostly of training in surveying and soil and water conservation, irrigation, drainage, and building of roads, things along that line for the development of some of the lands down in Morocco.
Mm-hmm. And since that time, too, the Cal Poly teams that have gone out on a contract program to work in the foreign countries have included some people in the agricultural mechanics field. Is that true?
Yes, that's generally been true. There's quite a need, a great need, for a better knowledge of mechanization in these developing countries, because this seems to be the key to increasing their production in agriculture, just as it was the key to the increase in production that's taken place in the United States over the last half a century.
Mm-hmm. Jim, about what percentage of staff time is devoted to the service courses for other ag majors, and to the majors in ag engineering and ag and mechanized agriculture.
Well, I would say the ag engineering department and staff devotes at least half of the time to service courses, giving majors from other departments in the School of Agriculture some basic training in the fundamentals of agricultural mechanization and agricultural mechanics.
Quite a bit of that might be in, for instance, farm structures or farm carpentry. Or
farm machinery, rural electrification, farm engines, farm power. Those are the things that are generally stressed. Quite a bit of irrigation and drainage.
Good. Now, Jim, over the years, I know you've worked tremendously hard, but you've had some real good hobbies that have taken you into the outdoors. What were some of those hobbies, and how were you able to carry them out?
Well, the first year that we were on the retirement list, we bought a camper on a Chevrolet pickup and traveled all over the United States. We've been in every province of Canada. We did a lot of hunting and fishing along the way, and just really looked around the country and saw some of the wonderful things there are to see in this country. This past year, we had a short assignment in Guatemala, and we drove the camper all the way down there, took our time going through Mexico and explored some of that territory. And just recently, I've had another trip or two up into some of the western states to do some more hunting.
Well, I know that you didn't have to wait, though, until your retirement. I don't think there's been a year gone by, Jim, that you haven't got some hunting and fishing in. Is that right?
That's right. That's one of my favorite sports.
And I don't imagine that you could even count the number of deer that you've bagged over the years.
No, I think one of the highlights was a big moose that we brought back from northern Alberta a year ago.
You had a little experience, Jim, with those moose horns up in Seattle that you preserved so carefully. What was that? That was a good story.
Well, that was an unfortunate thing. We had fastened this moose head very carefully on the front of the pickup to transport it home. It was almost as wide as the front of the pickup. And when we got to Seattle, I suggested that maybe we should put the camper in the garage and take public transportation to see the town. And a parking attendant in parking the rig rammed the moose horns against a concrete wall and embedded the points in the concrete and broke six of them off. He ruined my moose head and crushed the front grill on the camper. So this was the this was the story of the moose horns.
Of course, the garage reimbursed you handsomely for
oh,
it, Jim.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. We never were able to get a nickel out of out of that one.
Jim, over the years, I can remember a few evenings when a bunch of the boys gathered around the table, and we used to have what we call an economic readjustment there. What did that consist of?
Well, we shuffled the pasteboards, in other words.
Well, it was a lot of fun, and it seemed to me that in the latter years of your work and my work, we just didn't seem to get time anymore to have the fun that we did in the early days. Maybe we needed more sleep. Was that
George,
it?
I think we're going to have to have another game one of these nights right soon. Now that we're all back together, you're back from Alaska and we're back from Guatemala, maybe we can get together some evening. We got Vard Shepherd up from Guatemala with some foreign money. Maybe we can do something about this economic readjustment program.
I think we're going to have to do that, Jim.
Yeah.
Well, Jim, it's been a real pleasure talking to you. I've known you ever since 1931 when I came down here. You were teaching at Santa Rosa then, and I've seen you here on the campus at Cal Poly, even though my work has not been here. And I'll just have to say that there's nobody that's been more help to me when I needed a couple of extra nails or a little advice on how to do something mechanical. And I know that you and Alice look forward to many pleasant years of retirement, and you're going to be active, whatever it is that you do.
Well, thank you, George, and Your work has been in vocational agriculture and with the future farmers, and some of the most pleasant experiences I've had in my whole teaching career has been working with the future farmers at their state convention and the state-wide judging contest and judging at the fairs and shows, working with them and training the VOAG teachers, both the pre-service and in-service help to them in the field, and I've enjoyed it very, very much.
Well, I know that the future farmers have appreciated it, and the total college has appreciated it, and they've shown this appreciation in some very wonderful and very well-deserved honors that you've had. Well, Jim, we're going to bring this program to a close, this program of As I Remember. This program will go into the archives and will be available for use by future generations. This interview has been conducted by George P. Cooper.